The DigitalLifestyle.com presents The Media Centers Show, show 145, Thursday, 21st February, 2008. Media Centre Show with tech.co.uk. I'm Ian Dixon, and I hope you enjoyed last week's Media Centre Show Awards. It was great fun recording the show live, and I'm going to be doing another live show fairly soon, so more details of that at the end of the show. This week it's the full interview with Microsoft's Steve Lindsay, and Steve was on the show last week and he mentioned about the Champion Media Centre program that he was working on, which is a way of getting Microsoft in with the community to talk championing technologies like Media Center and Home Server. And Steve has joined the DigitalLifestyle.com. He's got a blog and is answering questions in the Ask Microsoft and the Experts forum. Steve's got a great Media Center set up at home, and this is how we originally got hooked up, because he was on a Channel 10 video talking about his setup and some of the software he's written for Media Center and the integration that work he's done. So we're going to be talking about that setup and how he got involved with that in the On 10 video, and some of Steve's background as well. And I've got email and news items. So I'm going to dive straight into the first email, and this is from David Cozy, who I met up with at CES. He says, "Hi Ian, it was great to meet you at the CES dinner. I had a good time. I watched your video on the Linksys DMA2200 and was interested in a comment about how you like the Xbox 360's extender over the 2200. Can you explain that comment? I'll be finally upgrading my HP Media Center to Vista and plan on purchasing a Linksys extender for my bedroom. Thanks, talk to you soon, David." Thanks for your email, David. It was great to catch you at CES. And I thought I'd read David's. A few people have asked me about that. Simple reason, really, why I like the 22 and why I like the Xbox over the 2200. There's not really anything in it. In terms of operating Media Center, they're almost identical. I know the transitions are slightly different, but once you start using it, you soon forget about that. The only thing is, for me, is that it's an Xbox 360 as well as an extender, so it does both roles, whereas the extender is dedicated. Having said that, I do like the dedicated device, so I'm happy with both of them. I have been having some issues with the wireless network. I'm watching TV with it coming up with network congestion. If I have the network cable in, it's fine. So I think I've got to look at my network. I've got an M router, so it should work okay, and it has been fine. And just recently, I've had a couple of glitches, so I need to investigate that some more. Now, an email on FreeSat. "Hey, that's a good show. I've been listening for a year or so. Keep up the good work. Further to your mention on show 143, I noticed that GDI Black Gold have launched a 4-in-1 tuner with 2 DVB-S and 2 DVB-T tuners. Interestingly, they have indicated they have developed generic DVB-S support with Microsoft and mentions possible future that Media Center may support 2 types of tuner in the near future along with HD content. I also saw, interestingly, that FreeSat have now been announced for launching in the spring with free-to-air HD from the BBC and ITV. So reading between the lines, I think that the UK will soon have HD TV for Media Center, and we can mix free-to-air, satellite and Freeview. On a final note, it was interesting to hear that S1 Digital have a 10-foot interface for Blu-ray playback. Does anyone know what software and if it can be purchased outside the US? I've been waiting for a 10-foot experience before moving to Blu-ray." And that's from Sparky. Thanks for the email. I think it would be great to have FreeSat on Media Center, and having 4 tuners, 2 with DVB-S, which is the satellite pulling down content, and 2 DVB-T, terrestrial over the air, pulling down content, would be great. So I'd like to see that. I've not heard anything, but as soon as I do, I'll let you know. It would be great to get that combination of tuners, and hopefully they can integrate the guide between the two different sources, because I think that will be an issue. That's a Blu-ray playback. I'll double check on that. I think they're using ArcSofts, but I'll try and find out. Now an email from Paul Rawlings. Hi, Ian. I just bought a Linksys 2100 Media Center Extender on the strength of your recent video reviews and absolutely delighted with it. Setup was a breeze, and having watched your unboxing video, I knew exactly what to expect and what to do at each stage. The unit worked perfectly, streaming video and music wirelessly over from the PC upstairs to the extender downstairs. I'm really over the moon, thanks for pointing me in the right direction. I'm a relative newcomer to your show, but look forward to it each week. Keep up the good work. From Paul Rawlings from York in the UK. Thanks for the email. I'm glad you're happy with your extender. In fact, I want to hear from users using the other brands of extenders. Obviously, Linksys is the only one that's available here in the UK that I can try. But the D-Link one's out there, and one's on the way from Samsung and HP. So if anybody fancies giving us an update on the show, let them know how you get on with your extenders, Ian at The Digital Lifestyle, and you get a copy of one of the big screen applications for the Trouble, and Paul's going to get a copy of Big Screen Weather too for his email. And if you've got any video or anything, I'm happy to host it, whatever you want to do. So Ian at thedigitallifestyle.com. And now, finally, an email from last week's winner of Big Screen Weather. Hi, Ian. I enjoyed last week's show and was really happy to hear I'd won a copy of Big Screen Weather too. Now Ginsburg is a fellow Aussie and does great work in the community. I'm really looking forward to receiving the plugin to give it a try. Just wanted to take this opportunity to say thank you and keep up the good work, Paul. So thanks for that, Paul. I hope you'll enjoy Niall's software, and it's great to support. I really enjoy supporting Niall and the great work that he's doing. And if you want to get a copy of Big Screen Photos 2 or Big Screen Weather 2, you don't forget you can get a 20% discount if you go to bigscreenglobal.com and use a checkout code DIGITALDEAL, and a link for that in the show notes. And so, and there's trial versions of everything available too, so try the trial versions. If you like them, get the 20% off. So the email address is ian@thedigitallifestyle.com. Please keep those coming, I do like getting them. I'm also on Twitter as well, so if you're using Twitter, you'll find me isdixon. So now for a couple of news items. Microsoft released a February 2008 cumulative update for Media Center for Vista. I think this is included in Service Pack 1 because my Service Pack 1 machine didn't pick up on it, but the non-Service Pack 1 machines did. So I've got it introduced, and I think one of the things it addresses is a UI freezing problem when you're changing channels on live TV on the Xbox 360 and extender. And this replaces the October cumulative update, and it's available on Windows Update. I did hear a couple of people saying they had problems installing the patches, but the reports on the blogs all seem to relate back to one site, and I can't seem to find the source for that. So if you have any problems, let me know, but so far I found it pretty good. Interesting, saw this week that Disney in the 50s had the Home of the Future, and they're going to relaunch that with a modern version, but based around Media Center. They're going to be using Media Center, HP stuff, and Lifeware. And this looks very similar to the the next-gen home that was set up at CES. And you can see the video that I took of that. They're going to use actors to take you around and showing off home automation, Lifeware, and Media Center. And I think they spent $15 million developing this. And they're going to have actors showing you, and the theme being a family of four preparing a trip to China. So it's good to see Media Center getting promoted this way. And if anybody gets to see that, please let us know what it's like. Now some plugin news. MC Picasa is a new open source project on CodePlex for viewing Picasa images in Media Center. It's written in Media Center markup language, so it's a proper Vista Media Center application. And it's open source as well. One of the things I like about the open source projects for the Media Center is that you can take a look and see how people have done it. Media Center markup language is a great language, but can be hard to master. So I recommend having a look at source code just to get some ideas yourself. I mean, I don't use Picasa personally, but it is a nice looking application, so have a look for that link in the show notes. You may have heard Paul from S1 Digital on the show a couple of weeks ago. I noticed that S1 Digital are featured on Channel 10. There's a video from Channel 10, is Microsoft's website, a video showing Paul at CES talking about their high-end solutions. So have a look at that, and the link to Paul's interview is in the show notes in case you've not heard that one. And I also wanted to mention that Microsoft updated their community page that focuses on Media Center. And on there are some videos from Channel 10, including video from Steve Lindsay and Hakan Olsen, which I've mentioned on the blog in the past. But also there's some community sites on there, and on there amongst the others is digitallifestyle.com, which is great. And it's great to be there alongside The Green Button, Chris Lanny's blog, Mission Remote and Edbots Media Central. So hopefully new users will find the community page useful, and it will help get bring them along into the Media Centre community. And finally, what I think is probably sad news is that, or certainly sad news for HD DVD owners, is that Toshiba have decided to kill HD DVD, and you could see it coming with all the studios going across Blu-ray. And I think, well, it's good that the format war's over. I can't help thinking that HD DVD was a more consumer-focused platform with things like managed copy, and I think we're going to probably never see that now. So I say, well, forget that and go with digital downloads. I think that's the way forward. We want to see more digital content available through the 10-foot interface on Media Centre, so every opportunity you can, I think we should all ask for that. We want to see things like Netflix, which I know there's a plugin for that, which I talked about previously. I want to see some UK content on there. I want to see movies. I want to see the Xbox Live movie download service available on Media Centre. Also on the back of that, I noticed that Nivius have dropped their HDVD unit and are offering Blu-ray as well, so it looks like it's all over on that front. Oh, before I go to the break, I want to mention that I've an unboxing video of HP MediaSmart server, a Windows Home server. I've not had a chance to connect it up yet, but I will be doing soon, so I'll have a look at that. Right, time for a message from One Voice. I'll be back with Steve Lindsay, and I'll give you an update on the live show coming soon.
Introducing Media Center Communicator, the perfect complement for Windows Media Center. Imagine walking into your home and simply speaking to play music, watch TV, read and send email, call to order pizza, and more. Now with Media Center Communicator, you have full control of your digital home using only your voice. And best of all, there is no voice training required. And built on OneVoice's Media Center Communicator, MC Each Speech Tools is a powerful speech recognition toolkit allowing developers of Media Center compatible applications to easily incorporate speech recognition commands as features. OneVoice offers licenses for MCE Speech Tools along with its Media Center Communicator to the rapidly growing community of Media Center developers. Just say it to play it. To learn more, go to www.onev.com.
Well, Steve Lindsay, welcome to the Media Center Show.
Hi, it's nice to meet you, Ian. I've been watching you, listening to your show and reading your blog for a long time. It's pretty cool. I'm glad you have me.
And it's looking forward to talking to you today because you did a great video on 10 that has sparked a lot of interest, and a lot of people have been coming to to see that and surprised about the setup you've got, which is a really good Media Center setup. So I want to talk about that and how you've got that setup and how you sort of came to that. But first, just give me a background on yourself. And you're at Microsoft, but the people, especially from the UK, may be able to tell by your accent that you're not a native American. So give us a bit of background on yourself.
Sure, I am. I had a bit of a strange path getting here. I would have never imagined myself, looking back 20 years from now, I would never imagine myself at Microsoft. But it's one of them funny things. It's kind of a funny story in that I remember saying to my dad when I was younger, you know, this is what I want to do. I want to be in America. I want to work in computers. And, you know, Microsoft is so great. You know, I was a bit of a fanboy even, you know, in the time of Windows 3.1. And, you know, I never knew of any path of how I would get there at the time. And I was brought up in the north of England, you know, not too far away from Scotland. I mean, the UK guys will know more. Middlesbrough is where I was born. And my dad was from Glasgow. And I ended up moving to the south of England when I was 19, to Watford. And I started working at Cable and Wireless there and started as a network analyst, working on corporate networks like Woolworths and WH Smiths and stuff like that, and mainly doing Cisco work. But at the same time, I always had a passion for programming and for Microsoft products. So I was using VB back in version 3, and you know, I'd been using, for those who know what an Amiga is, I'd been doing Lattice C++ on the Amiga for a long time. And I always loved doing it, and the networking was fun, but it would never felt like where I should be. I always wanted to be programming. So I, when I was in London, I came across an opportunity to work for a company in New York, out of their UK office, which was based in Slough. So I started working for them, and after a couple of years, they asked if I'd like to move to the US. And at first, I was a bit apprehensive. I had a girlfriend in the UK, and I wasn't really comfortable with moving. And my life situation changed, and I thought, you know what, I'll give it a try. So I moved out to New York, and I was working on Long Island for this company who were doing voiceover IP. And I was working as a programmer for them in their integrations department, doing system integrations for big CRM packages like Siebel Systems and Clarify and Salesforce.com and all of the big CRMs at the time. And I was integrating this with VoIP software. It was a lot of fun. It was a great job. It got me a lot of experience. And you know, it also got me noticed by Microsoft as well, because we were doing integrations with Microsoft over certain products at the time. And I got a few contacts in Microsoft, and eventually I ended up having an interview for Microsoft to move over into their test department as a tools and infrastructure programmer for the Forefront security software, which was actually prior to being Forefront. It was Sabari antivirus. And now Forefront became a key part of Microsoft's security strategy, and we have a big office in New York, and I work on internal tools and test infrastructure software, which is used by the test department to test the Forefront suite of products. So I write things like deployment software, which actually automatically installs software on machines, and software which automatically tests different functionality of the product and things like that. It's pretty cool. It's a fun job. I enjoy it. That's basically what I do over here. I work pretty much, you know, as a programmer in and out every day doing tools and infrastructure software. And then by night, as you know, I've got a different passion, which is Media Center and Home Server and generally digital lifestyle technologies.
And I think the video was really interesting, and I know that there's been some other on 10 videos showing people's Microsoft employees' home systems, but I think so far yours has been probably the one that's got the greatest interest from my point of view, because of the Media Center side. So just before we talk about what components you got, just how did you get involved in doing the video?
It was interesting, actually. I was contacted by somebody who you might know, actually, Charlie Owen. He works as a PM for the Windows Media Center team. And I've been in touch with Charlie a bit anyway, because I've been testing the SDK for Media Center on 5.2 and 5.1. And I've been involved with the Media Center Sandbox site, posting on the forums and things like that. At the time, I was actually writing an add-on for Media Center, which played content back from the Stage 6 DivX website. As I was actually testing out at the time one of the new V2 extenders, the D-Link extender, which you've probably heard about. So I was testing this extender out, and I wanted something which I could test multiple types of DivX files on. And I thought, you know, what's the best way of me getting massive amounts of formats of DivX which differ greatly? You know, and the obvious solution was to look at a site like Stage 6, which had user-uploaded content. And, you know, it was done at different bit rates and different resolutions, but they were all DivX. So I wrote an MCML add-on and a Windows service for Media Center, which what it did was it downloaded the DivX movies from the Stage 6 site for channels you subscribed to. So if you had a channel, for instance, a Transformers channel, where it might have had all the old Transformer cartoons, you would subscribe to this channel. It would download all of the videos for the current RSS feed for that channel, and it would keep them synchronized at all times. So it would be downloading in the background like Bits does, and it would keep them synchronized on the actual Media Center box. And then an XML file was generated, which actually contained metadata on the videos, like who uploaded it, what resolution it was, and so on, and thumbnail images of the videos, and it would display them as a video wall within the Media Center software. So I wrote this, and that got me a little bit of attention, and, you know, internally, you know, a few people saw this application and had been posting the sandbox about it. So the Media Center team got to know me a little bit through that, and in addition through the work I'd been doing on their V2 extenders. So that really got me noticed by them. And then I think an opportunity came up where they wanted to show a media center home setup, and my name came up. So I think Charlie put me in contact with the On 10 guys, and they arranged for somebody to come over, and that's how it all started.
So for anybody that's not seen the video, just give us a sort of walkthrough on what the video contains.
Well, basically, you were talking before about, you know, how this all came about as well. I've been using Media Center since, well, it's a long time now. I've been using it as the primary way of watching TV in my house, probably for about 5 years. So, you know, I've basically had cable boxes, which have been in the basement type situation, and, you know, Media Centers in the rest of the rooms. You know, I tried out various solutions along the way. For instance, I tried out the V1 extenders and, you know, the Xbox One and multiple Media Center machines and so on and so forth. And I really kept building the system up. And you know, after about 5 years, I came to where I've got to now, which is to answer your original question. I've got to the point where every room in my house has an extender. I have a main Media Center server, which is in my basement. I have a web services, a web front end for my Media Center for on the road, so I can access it through my cell phone or through a browser from a different location, such as work. And I'm able to start recordings from any TV or any web browser or any cell phone. I'm able to look at my TV guide from them, watch live TV from them. I'm able to pause a program in my house, go on the road, and say I take a train into the city, and I can resume watching that program on my cell phone. And then when I get into the city, for instance, I might go into an internet cafe and I can open a browser there and continue to watch the program there. So I have a lot of flexibility with what the system does. And I'm always looking for ways to expand it further. For instance, I'm using some software, which I know you're familiar with, and a lot of people out there will be, TappyRex. I use their MCE TappyRex plugin, which allows me to see incoming phone calls, which are coming on through my Media Center interface, like you used to be able to in 2005. So basically I get a pop-up, I see a photo of the person that's calling me, and I can choose to pause the media that's playing on my Media Center when that happens. I can go through the call history. And I use a number of other add-ons, and I think that's one of the reasons my video got quite a bit of attention, is because I did an integration with Windows Home Server as well. So that's my permanent recording storage, for instance. In addition to that, I have a DVRMS toolbox running on there, and I cut all the commercials out of my show as they're recording. And I have all lots of little extendable features which kind of add to the experience and give me, you know, one wholesome experience as opposed to lots of disjointed things. I think that's the reason that the video got so much attention, is it really feels like one whole system rather than, you know, other solutions I've used, not to mention any names. You know, I tried out pretty much every type of interface you can think of. You can think of the obvious competitors out there, such as Apple and Slingbox and TiVo and so on. And, you know, without naming the issues I had with any of them, I tried them all out, and I had individual problems with each of them. I couldn't do maybe one or two things that I wanted to do. And in Media Center, due to its extensibility, I was able to do it. So things like being able to pause a program in one room and resume it and not having to worry about where the media is and transferring it across became very easy obstacles to get over.
And I think that's the key for a lot of people, isn't it? That certainly a lot of early adopters of Media Center, the fact that it's written on a Windows platform and there is a software development kit means that, you know, you can get in there and do things with it that you just can't on a closed system like Apple TV.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, I'm a programmer, and like a lot of listeners of your show, I'm a power user. You know, I mean, I want the ability to be able to make my software my own. And you know, Media Center lets me do that. But in addition to that, it also tailors for people like my wife, who can go up and just use the system without having to know about all of the integration points. And, you know, one of the big issues my wife had with one of the other systems we tried was the fact that she had to understand that there were separate machines in each room. So, you know, what would happen is she'd go to bed and she'd want to watch a program which she'd recorded downstairs, And I'd have to show her how she could go into the menu so she could transfer this program off the other TV up to upstairs, and then it takes time to do it. And by the time it's, you know, she's got into doing it, she doesn't want to watch the program anymore. And the ability to make this transparent in Media Center was something which was ultimately, as an end user experience to her who doesn't have much experience in computers and definitely isn't a power user, you know, it's something which was very comfortable for her to use.
So looking at your system then, so you've got one main Media Center system and then you're running multiple extenders. So you're running, like you mentioned, the V2 extenders. Are you running a mixture of V2 extenders and Xbox 360s?
Yeah, I'll tell you what I've got in the house at the moment. Things changed last week, actually. I'm constantly upgrading my system. There's always something I'm doing to it. It's my passion, and much like you, Ian, you know, outside my job, when I go home, I start thinking about what I can do with Media Center and what I can do with, you know, newer technologies for the digital lifestyle, which are coming out, not just Media Center, but I try to follow pretty much, you know, every major release of anything that comes out for a digital home or digital lifestyle or home automation and so on. So what I have just now in the house, I actually have a Dell XPS 420, which I bought last week, which is just waiting to get the cable cards installed right now. So I'm going to move to Orca, which I've been pushing off for a long time. I was running, and on the video, I was running a HD home run box with two cable feeds going into it and two analog tuners. So I had four tuners running in parallel. Next week, I'll be switching to the Orca system and I'll be going all digital on it, which will be nice. However, for now, leaving the Dell XPS out of it, I have a home server which I built from a cheap PC. It was like a $120 PC. You know, I think its processor speed is about 1.8 gig. It has 1 gig memory, and it has a tiny primary hard drive in it. And then I have 8 SATA drives, which are 500 gigabytes each, the Seagate Barracudas. And they're sat in an external chassis and connected by independent SATA channels to PCI cards in the home server. The main Media Center machine on the video is actually I think it was a Gateway 840 GM, which was a dual core machine with 3 gig memory, a very small hard drive in it. I only had a 200 gig hard drive in it, I think. And it had the dual analog tuners and obviously over the network, be it HD home run. And that was running Vista Ultimate Edition. And I had, extender-wise, I have in my basement, I have my main gaming machine, which is an Xbox 360, which obviously runs Media Center Extender, and that goes onto a 60-inch 1080p TV. In the front room, I have just a regular tube TV, but it has component connection to, again, there's a 360 in the front room. And then in the master bedroom, there's another 360. Reason I have 360s as opposed to V2 extenders in these rooms is I'm a big gamer as well. So there's quite a few people know me online for playing on the Xbox. You know, I play a lot. I was a big Halo 3 person, and you know, I'm constantly playing, whether it be in the front room, the basement, or the bedroom. In my back bedroom, currently I have the D-Link, the new V2 extender from D-Link. That's running in the back bedroom. And in the kitchen, it's actually not connected up at the moment, but I have been using it, is the Linksys, I think it's the 2100 model, which is, both of them are running wireless N connections to my wireless router and obviously to my Media Center.
So have you found sort of network bandwidth then with moving all this video around? Because I've seen sort of one or two extenders on the network. I've got two on here, but once you start to get more than two, then how does your network cope with that?
Absolutely. It's a good question, actually. And one of the things I would say is that hopefully you'll link a link to my blog on the podcast. On the blog, you'll find I actually have an article which talks specifically about how to get around network issues and bottlenecks within using a home server with a Media Center system. It also applies to just general networking. Things you've got to consider is if you're moving a lot of high-def TV around, you really need to have good bandwidth. And there's several ways to do this. I mean, we've seen various solutions by different manufacturers on how to do this wirelessly, like where they split the A and the G channels of wireless and let you run two independent networks. And, you know, you run wireless over one side and, the media over one side of the wireless network and then your regular computers over the other. The other obvious way is to increase your bandwidth on your network. So I have gigabit Ethernet throughout my house. I actually hardwired it to all the rooms except the back bedroom and the kitchen, which I'll probably add at some point, but for now the wireless is fine with them. So I'm running wireless N for the Linksys and the D-Link, and they're the only things using wireless in my house aside from my wife's laptop. Everything else is wired via 1 gigabit Ethernet. One of the other things that I do to help the bandwidth out is one of the things that seemed to spark a bit more interest on the video was I wrote a Windows service and an application for Media Center and Home Server, which allows you to basically move all of your recordings over to the home server, and it does this on a routine basis. So what actually happens is it brings the Media Center down for about a minute on a night, and switches all of the recordings that were recorded that day into permanent storage on the home server, so that it frees up the space on the actual local Media Center disk, and I don't have to worry about recording storage. But in addition to that, it has a much, much better advantage in that the recording playback of anything which is more than a day old is coming from the home server, and it's not coming from the Media Center. And that allows you, obviously, if you're recording a couple of programs and playing a couple of programs, it's distributing that network load between them two machines. And that has made a tremendous amount of difference. And that's something you'll hear a bit more from me as time passes. I'm trying to get a bit more involved in the community in a lot of aspects. And one of the things I'm going to be doing is releasing this application, which I'm currently calling I think its working name is MCE Home Server Manager, I'm calling it. And it's basically a Windows service you'll install on your Media Center box. And there's a front end for it as well. And the front end will allow you to tell it to basically move these type of files over to the server at this time every night, and then resynchronize the extenders. And it allows you to do some other things. I have some built-in housekeeping in it where it'll also move across DVRMS toolbox skip files, like the EDL files and the TXT files used by Commercial Skip and I think Show Analyzer. And what it'll do, it'll move these across with them as well. In addition to that, it'll clean up ones which have been left behind after the programs have been deleted, so that you don't end up with all these files lying all over the place for it. It has some other management features in there as well, but basically the primary idea is that, you know, you can leave your Media Center machine and your home server alone, and without you touching it transparently, you're going to find that your permanent recording storage is on your home server. That's the intention of it.
That's a good way of working. I kind of have something similar, just with a second hard drive in my main Media Center machine, but on the forums we got this sort of the enabled the recording synchronization with Media Center and Home Server, so at least you can move stuff over and it picks it up there. And it, like you said, it does make a difference then that you're not hitting one box for all your content for recording and for playback. So I think that's a good idea, and having it automated is a really good idea.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, the biggest thing for me is I tried the manual processes. I'd actually read some of the stuff you'd written yourself, and I'd read some of the other articles by other key people in the community over obviously on Green Button and so on getting the recording storage working on home server. And, you know, it was some of the steps were a little difficult for people to do straight out of the box. So what my application intends to do is to fill that gap, basically. You'll have a double-click install, which will ask you nothing at all. And this install will simply make it work. And all you'll need to do is, there'll actually be two install packages, one for the home server as a plugin, and one on the Media Center box. And you'll just double click on the Media Center box, it'll install, it'll ask you, basically it won't ask anything during installation. The configuration dialog will ask you, you know, where do you want the media moving to? You'll tell it where you want it moving to, and you can change a few other optional parameters. You save it, the service is then working. You run the install on the home server box, which relaxes the permissions to the recorded TV directory, and then you'll just be able to simply copy them over. And I've actually been using this myself. I like to test my software out a long time before I, you know, before I release it to anybody. And I've been running that service now for about a month, and I haven't had to touch it at all. I literally have not touched it once, and my MIDI has moved over perfectly with no issues.
Yeah, well, that's a nice way of doing it, and of course you've got sort of the advantages then of using the home server with the pooled storage and everything else. So I do like that idea.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's actually the home server is where I keep all of my media anyway. If I have any other movies I've downloaded from YouTube or from anywhere else on the internet, and any pictures and home videos and things like that, and my music collection, all of that's on my home server as well. I like to keep as much media away from the media center as possible just now.
Mm. Yeah, that's your, kind of your box that does the recording and the serving of the extenders, I guess. And it's a bit
exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of how a lot of people think seem to be going now is and my machine does that. It tends, I don't really use it as to watch TV on, because it's not connected directly to the TV, the Xbox is. So my machine is kind of acting as a server role in that way.
Exactly. Yeah, my media center doesn't play anything back locally. In fact, I don't even have a sound card in my media center box. So. You know, it purely is a server for me. The new Dell XPS box will have a sound card in it, no doubt, but the old one just now doesn't.
And do you think then you would continue with that model that you've got now, though, of the content being moved off to your home server and you're not actually connecting the Dell directly up to a TV?
Absolutely, yeah. That's in fact, one of the things I'll do is I'll provide you with some pictures afterwards, which you can link to from the podcast of what I've just actually done in my basement. Over the Christmas and New Year holidays, I decided that previously, if you saw the video, you'd see that I had these glass computer desks stretching right the way across the wall in my basement, and just computer gear piled up on top of them. You know, I have the 200 disc DVD changer, the Sony VAIO one. I have you know, my Windows Home Server, my 4 terabyte drive rack, my Windows Media Center, and all these boxes were kind of all tumbled across these desks, and it wasn't very tidy. My wife had been getting on at me for a while to get it moved. So what I did was I built it all into a cabinet in my basement. So now you do not see any of this equipment at all. You wouldn't even know it was in the house unless I actually showed you, which is nice. So it's out the way. You know, it's supposed to be a toaster for me. You know, this this media center box is what's running my media. I don't really want to know about it. I don't want to know any of the technical details about it unless I want to do something specifically on the system myself as a developer. But for my wife, I want it to go to the TV, press the on button, and I want it to work. And that's ultimately been the model that I've tried to build my home system around.
And there's a couple of other bits and pieces that I noticed that you were using to sort of pull these things together. One was WebGuide, which I guess most people are familiar with that listen to the show, but that is an important part for the sort of your remote access side of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Doug did an absolutely fantastic job of WebGuide. And, you know, since Doug joined us at Microsoft, I've been in touch with him a little bit over WebGuide. And, you know, I think everybody who sees it agrees the same thing. Its functionality is it's unsurpassed, you know, and really just now the solution that Microsoft's got with Windows Media Center and WebGuide as a plugin to it is there's no competition which comes close. You know, I mean, you can have a fully integrated home media center system which you can take on the road with you now, and WebGuide's pretty fantastic for that. It gives me the ability as you know, an English guy living in New York, to give my parents a link where they can log into my system and look at my home videos of my baby and look at my home video my home pictures of my baby, and you know, even if I wanted to, they could watch a movie I've recorded. You know, they don't do that, but you know, obviously it's a possibility. WebGuide's a pretty fantastic piece of software. I like it a lot. It's a key part of my media center system now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's the one thing that, you know, after you do a clean install of Vista, that's the first thing you kind of want to get working, because you know that, you know, as I've mentioned previously on the show many times, it's got me out of trouble lots of times in the past when you know, you forgot to record something and you can just pull out your mobile phone and schedule a recording.
Exactly, yeah. And I have a gadget on my work machine on my Vista sidebar, which plugs into WebGuide. I think it's actually on Doug's site as well. which, you know, just basically shows me my channel guidance, shows me what's recording, so I can instantly see, you know, see if my programs have started, and if I haven't, I can just click on the guide and actually add them, which is great. So
that's one of the nice things of Media Center, is that you can just add this functionality on top of it, and you know, and you get that. So web guide is definitely one of my favourites. So you mentioned about TapiRec, so you can get your caller ID. Is there any other applications that you like to install?
Yeah, I mean, right now I'm kind of in the process of rebuilding some of the Media Center stuff, because I know I'm getting a new system, and there's always things which I've got on the horizon which I intend doing, and there's certain things I've tried out and I've put to the side, and I thought I'll fully integrate them later. And some of the things that I'll be coming up with soon is home automation. I'll be integrating some X10 equipment in there so I can control my lighting in the house and various other things. You know, for instance, cameras and so on. I'd like the ability to be able to, you know, turn on the baby camera from the TV and, you know, look in my basement or at my driveway. And a piece of software I've been thinking about writing for a while, which I'm probably going to do once I get the X10 equipment installed, is I'd like to have automatic cameras for things like people driving, walking up my driveway. So if somebody's approaching my front door, Media Center will pop up and tell me that somebody's approaching the front door, and it'll switch to a camera view so I can see who's there. So that's one of the things that I intend doing sometime in the next year, I would think. That's not the highest of my priorities, but it's definitely on the list.
I mean, there are some good packages for home automation out for Media Center, and friends of the show, embedded automation, we've got M-Control, and that's something I use, which is with just X10 devices for switching lights on and off and things like that. But I think they've got security elements built into it, and it's nice being able to do the home automation directly from Media Center without having to switch to Windows.
Absolutely. In fact, you hit a key point which is important there as well, which is the fact that, you know, when I'm looking at these solutions, you know, the first thought in my mind isn't to write software myself for Media Center. The first thought in my mind is, oh, someone's done this before. And the reason is that, you know, a lot of people don't realize, and some people forget that, you know, the amount of time Media Center's been out there in the marketplace. It's a very established product with a lot of support out there from the community. And as you mentioned, you know, there's software packages out there which do home automation. There's ones which do cameras. There's a lot of even higher end installation stuff which has some really nice things, like the remote panels for controlling Media Center and the integrated remote controls. And, you know, obviously moving forward, we're going to see a lot of Sideshow devices come out, and hopefully a lot of applications written for them. So the third-party support on Media Center is the first thing I always look at when I'm looking for a package. A good example of that is TapiRec. You know, that package for me is essential, and, you know, it's a great package which Christoph, the guy who wrote it, did a fantastic job of coming up with, along with his other add-ons, obviously, like his eBay add-on and things like that. So yeah, when I look at the home automation stuff and the cameras, I'll definitely be looking at third-party software first to see what I can use out of the box, rather than having to go to the difficulty of, you know, writing it myself, even though, you know, I could probably do that because the extensibility of Media Center's there. So.
The nice thing about sort of do Media Center development, though, and if you're a developer, is that there are so many opportunities out there. And okay, there might be something that does close to what you want, but it is nice to be able to write it yourself if you've got the skills and to be able to do it yourself. You really do learn a lot from doing it, and it is a nice sense of achievement when you finish your application.
Absolutely, yeah. And I just want to say, for anybody who hasn't tried MCML out on Vista, it's really sweet. It's nice. I my first MCML application was the Stage 6 application I mentioned earlier, and it was really nice to work with. Getting used to things like the absolute coordinates on the screen when programming was, it's a little bit of a learning curve, but the language is very straightforward, and to anybody who's used ASP before or ASP.NET, it's very, very similar, and you can produce some really startling results and, you know, really use the extended set of animations and things on Vista to produce nice results. I definitely suggest anybody to look at it. It's very good.
I think part of the problem when you start with the MCML is that the more you get into it, the more opportunities you can see, although the more things you realise it can do. And it's just one of those things where you could spend forever on an application because it has so much power and depth.
One of the things which is important with it is, you know, although Media Center supports the ability to write like a back-end application behind your MCML, you're not even restricted to that. You know, with technologies like .NET and RemoteIn now, and the way you can communicate between processes within Windows, it's easy to extend things even further than just using a back-end application. Example for me would be the Stage 6 application I wrote used a Windows service and quite simply used an XML file to store metadata, which was then picked up by Media Center. So, you know, this service was running completely outside the UI portion of Media Center as a completely separate service, which ran even when Media Center didn't. So, you know, you can take advantage of the Windows technology as well as the Media Center technology to produce applications which otherwise would be very difficult to write, which is really nice.
Yeah, it's just having that flexibility in the software development kit. If you're a developer and you like to tinker with things, it is nice to be able to get in there. One thing I did find, though, going from HTML to Media Center Marketland, which is HTML, as a tinkerer, you could get a HTML application up quite fairly quickly, but Media Center Marketland, which does require more, or certainly, like you mentioned, there's a steeper learning curve and it takes a bit more time to get into it.
Absolutely. I think one of the things out that, you know, which is tangent with it is basically MCML is to HTML what Flash is. You know, if you look at things like Flash or Silverlight, these are the next generation of maybe not Flash so much now, but there's certainly Silverlight, the next generation of tools which are going to be used to deliver rich content over the internet. And you know, the Media Center equivalent of that is MCML. So, you know, moving forward, you know, you're looking at having a richer set of tools. So, you know, the learning curve to take advantage of them richer set of tools is a little steeper. But in the general scheme of things, if you've got a grip with HTML, the learning curve's not too bad. If you know ASP, then you're away straight away on MCML, which is nice.
And so going back to sort of the integration side of things, you mentioned that you know, like all these things integrated together, and one of the criticisms that's been in Microsoft in the past is that, you know, these things are very isolated. So you've got Media Center on its own, and Home Server on its own, and Zune on its own, and there seems to be a general feeling that things are starting to move together more. So you mentioned your Media Center and Home Server integration. What other kind of components have you integrated into your environment?
That's a good question. So I've got, right now, I think mainly there's just, I have my telephone integrated. My Zoom's integrated in the way that it shares my same media library as Media Center does. I don't really do anything outside that. That's enough for me. I just listen to audiobooks and occasional pieces of music on my Zoom.
Have you tried the TV syncing with your Zoom? You can, you know, sync moving content onto recorded TV onto your Zoom?
I actually haven't, to be honest. I got the Zoom 4 device, the smaller one, purely because I have a trip into work every day and I like to listen while I'm in the cab. I don't really have any time that, you know, I need to use the Zoom to view media remotely. I have heard there's a TV syncing and it's good, but I haven't seen it myself, so that's something I haven't looked at.
It is nice. It does work, and the fact that previously it didn't and now it does. I mean, there's a few things that need looking at, I think, or as Zoom software progresses, it'll they may be able to improve on, but the basic functions work. You know, you can record something and then, you know, just take it with you. There's just the whole transcoding process is a bit slow. Something that's, so you can't just kind of take things with you on the fly, but it does work, and it's nice that you can take recorded TV with you and on a Zoom. But I guess your model, the web solution works better for you than having it on a Zoom.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I have, I'm very fortunate with the cell phone system that I have here. You know, Europe's typically a lot further in front on the cell phone stuff, but I have Microsoft Windows Mobile 5, it is actually. It's not one of the new 6 devices, but I have the Palm Treo 700W, I think it is. And for me, this thing's fantastic because I have unlimited broadband on it, so I don't ever need to worry about my phone bill. And in addition to that, I have broadband coverage across the whole of Long Island outside New York, which is really nice for me. So literally anywhere I go, I can just pull my Windows Mobile out and I can broadband access straight into my media center, which is nice. So I haven't really had the need to do non-streaming media through the Zoom for myself, but you know, I know there's a lot of people do it. And actually an interesting thing you were saying there about, you know, the way which it works with the Zoom, and it's nice how it just works, and the transcoding takes a bit long and so on like that. I think there's an important point I always push over to people when I'm talking about digital media and the digital lifestyle. We're really on the verge of the next generation of how people live, you know, generally, not just with home media. You know, we're starting to introduce ourselves more into a digital lifestyle. Our kids are being born into it now. You know, it's one of the things that I found was really interesting is that, you know, I've got a 9-month-year-old daughter, and there's nothing more she likes doing than watching photos on our 60-inch TV of herself. You know, it's very different to what we did when we were younger. You know, and if you look at a lot of kids these days, they walk up to a games console like the Xbox 360 or up to a media center system, they pick up the remote and they use it. And I think it's starting to get ingrained into us as a, you know, as a species, that that digital lifestyle is going to become one of the things which we just take for granted in future. And one of the things I love about working for Microsoft, you know, I'm not affiliated in any way with the media center department other than, you know, doing some beta testing for them. I like the way that I've been able to get involved and become kind of that part of that media center family, both internally and externally from Microsoft, with communities like the Green Button and obviously your blog and your podcast and various other sites out there like AVS forums. It's really nice that there's such a big community who all see the same thing. They all see the fact that, you know, we're on the verge, the absolute verge of a complete change in the way people live. And I think interactive media and home automation and the digital lifestyle will be the way things are in the future. You know, when you buy a TV, you'll be buying a TV which has media center functionality in the TV, or you'll be able to buy a device which just works with it. And, you know, I think Sideshow is an important part of this as well. I think with devices coming with Sideshow, we're going to see a lot of things on the side of remote controls, for instance, and things like this, which make our digital lifestyle even better and even more integrated. So we're in an exciting time, especially, you know, especially the media center and the home server things. You're going to see some very cool stuff soon. And
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's one of the things I'm looking forward to. I'm glad to be involved in the community, at least in some way, so that I can buzz along with everybody else when these new things come out, you know?
When you see things like the HP or Media Smart TVs that are coming out with the built-in extender functionality, you see the way that things are going, and it'll be nice to have that kind of, so the extender functionality ends up in a lot more devices, so it becomes almost ubiquitous, where you know, you've got your PC, your media server, and all these different client devices that, you know, from different manufacturers, but all have got the media center interface.
Absolutely, yeah. I went to the Javits Center in New York a few months ago to the Digital Lifestyle conference there. You know, I saw Joe Balfouri speak there about you know, about the media center home and obviously about home server, and I saw the HP unveiling. You know, so I saw the unveiling of the HP there, and obviously they had the D-Link and Linksys extenders there. It was, you know, it was a kind of nodding situation for me. It was great because I watched them unveil the HP system, and I was like, yeah, this is it. You know, I've been waiting for this type of thing, and, you know, I've known this is coming, and I'm pretty sure that a lot of your listeners, who effectively are evangelists in the areas which they look at because they're constantly pushing the technology, I'm pretty sure a lot of them see what's coming as well. And you know, it's very easy to see where Microsoft's positioned in this with the history that they've got, that you know, they are very focused on being an integral part of this. And I think they're doing a fantastic job at getting there. Obviously, I'm slightly biased working for Microsoft, but these are opinions that, you know, I would hold whether I work for Microsoft or not. You know, just being a geek.
And so you mentioned you've got, you know, you're looking at home automation and security and things. What kind of technology would you like to see, say, in the next 12 months for Media Center and this whole digital lifestyle that you think that would take it to the next level?
I think for me, I want to see more extenders in more TVs. I think a really good pattern would be, if you look at the Xbox 360 now, the video on demand service has got on there is fantastic. I'd like to see a similar integrated experience in Media Center. I'd like to see more TVs come with Media Center built in. You know, I mean, I think I speak for a lot of people when they say they want alternatives to their current TV services. I'm definitely somebody who feels like that as well. You know, it's not that I'm unhappy with my television service. It's just, you know, I'm using cable, and cable is old. You know, and even when we're looking at systems now which are delivered over fiber and things like this, these systems are still, they're still offering a get what you get media experience, not a get what you want media experience. And, you know, for me, I see as a long-term vision for television. I don't see us having broadcast in the way that we see it now. I see as a long-term vision, we're going to have everything as a service, you know, and I think the phrase software as a service is one of probably the buzzwords of 2007, buzz phrases of 2007. Everybody's realizing it's the way a lot of software is going now. You know, you've got the services such as live on the internet, and, you know, you've got obviously a lot more on-demand functionality coming out through systems like Xbox Live and the movies on demand on Xbox Live. I think Media Center will obviously start to move in that direction, and I'd like to see that happen. And I'd like to see hardware manufacturers really get on board with it as well, so that we see TVs coming out which have extender functionality built in. So, you know, you buy a new TV, you turn it on, and the first thing you see is a box pop up on your Vista box saying, you know, I've just found your new Media Center TV. Would you like to share your home media? You know, which is effectively what you see when you plug an Xbox 360 in just now.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd definitely like to see that too. And I think kind of Intel tried to do something with Vive that hasn't really worked. And I think that was partly because of the sort of the user experience on that was pretty nasty compared to how Media Center looks. And so I think if, you know, the Media Center is the service and the platform, and then people, the extended devices will all, you know, bring it all together. I would like to see, like you mentioned, something similar to the Xbox Live video service on Media Center, so you can download it all through Media Center, because it's okay using it through the Xbox, but you really want it on your main Media Center system.
Exactly. I mean, I think an important point for me is all of my Xbox 360 start up into Media Center. You know, none of them start to my Xbox, and that's because, you know, the experience I'm after is an end user experience. You know, as much as I'm a geek, you know, I save that for things other than watching TV, you know, and for the actual watching part of TV, I like to be able to turn my TV on, and I like to be able to watch it. And I can't tell you how used to the fact of having things like commercials skipping I am now. You know, it's got to the point where the other day I actually I watched a program without the commercial skip on, and I found myself getting bored halfway through the program. You know, I've just got used to the ability to have what I want on demand and have it without, you know, without other things being fed to me, which I don't necessarily want to see. You know, and I think consumers are going to demand that more and more over the next few years, and I think it's going to get to the point, you know, if you want to see a movie, the only way to go with it is on demand. You know, and I think people are going to want the ability to add that movie to their collection digitally as well, rather than buying a DVD copy of it, which ultimately you'll sit on a shelf and you might take it out once a year. It's far easier to have a digital copy of it, which you can get when you want.
Mm. And also I think important thing with that will be to get that copy where you want. It's not just, you know, being DRM tied to one box. You know, you want to be able to watch that. Maybe on your Zune, you definitely want to be able to watch it on an extender. You want to watch it maybe remotely through WebGuide or something. That flexibility needs to be there.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, you know, I think there's a lot of ways this, you know, could pan out. And, you know, I only speak for myself and my opinions with regards to how I want to see media come. But, you know, I'd like to see the same thing. I think Zune's gone in the right direction with it, with the ability to name like three devices which you're going to be able to view media on. For me, with the media center setup, you know, that's perfect. I can subscribe to the you know, to Zoom Pass, download my music, and specify my media center machine as one of my machines, and you know, I'm happy. I'd like to see more things include that, you know, and have the ability to do that. It would be nice ultimately to see a system of DRM which is a bit more flexible, but we'll see how that pans out.
Yeah, absolutely. And the video, whereabouts is that available for anybody that's not seen it?
The website is on10.net. It's www.on10.net. And the video is actually under Brian Johnson's blog. So if you click at the blogs tab at the top, and I believe it's on the second page just now of Brian's blog. And then my blog is located at www.on10.net again. And under blogs, it's called the Media Center and Home Server. I can't remember the last name. It's the Media Center and Home Server Pit Stop, I think. I can't remember what I called it now.
And what I'll do is I'll make sure I include other links anyway, so listeners can just pick it straight up from the show notes.
Okay, great, excellent.
Well, it's been great talking to you, and I think it is a really good video, and it's a good video for introducing people that haven't seen the possibilities of Media Center for themselves. And I think it's so a lot of the listeners will know the possibilities, but you know, people new to Media Center definitely will be a good introduction for them. But I think it's also going to be a great following your blog and seeing how you introduce different technologies and different code into your environment.
Yeah, I've got a lot going on just now, actually, just as a finishing note. I'll say watch this space as far as my blog's concerned, because I've got quite a few things in the pipeline, and I'm hoping to share them very soon. One of the things I originally intended doing on my blog, which I'm definitely going to be continuing to head towards, is I'm going to explain how my system's built from the ground up. So if somebody wanted to do my system in exactly the same way, I'm going to explain how they would go about it. In addition to that, I'll continue with the little tidbits like I've been putting on there over, you know, performance and increasing your performance of your system, and, you know, using things like commercial skipping, and I'll probably do something on Tappy Rex. And another thing I intend to do soon is introduce a voiceover IP through Media Center to my entire house. So I want it so that I can walk into a room and simply say to my system in that room, you know, answer phone when it's ringing, and I'll answer the call, and I'll be able to take it over loudspeaker. And that's something I want to get working on all my extenders. So it's going to be an interesting solution to implement. In addition to that, I'll be releasing the MCE Home Server Manager application at some point. And I'll be doing some programming guides on MCML and showing how to write applications from the ground up in MCML, and doing things like crawling RSS feeds and getting videos back from them, which you can then display through Media Center. So I've got a lot going on. So if you keep an eye on the blog, and I'll get some more content to you soon.
Yeah, we'll definitely do that. So many thanks for your time today.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you, Ian. It's been a pleasure being on the show.
Yeah, and what we'll do is we'll make sure we catch up again in a few months' time and see how you're progressing. We'll get you back on.
Sounds good. Take it easy.
Okay, that's it for this week's show. Next Friday, that's the 29th, I'll be recording a live show. More details on my blog next week. It'll be 8 p.m. UK time, I think, 12 p.m. PST. I'd love to get you to join in the chat room. So more detail of the guests on the blog next week. The email address for the show is ian@thedigitallifestyle.com. You can get me on Twitter, IS Dixon, but you'll find me on Facebook, and you'll find the Media Center Show group on Facebook, and you'll see me on the forums as well. So I'll see you around there. Thanks for listening. Bye.